Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. Of course, it is game five tonight. It is the Dodgers. It is the Blue Jays. And it is game five. I know. I'm usually, it's not a must win until if you lose, you're done. But maybe I should count them out. Maybe I should say it, because then if they lose tonight, then that'll mean they win, right?
It's something like that.
Yamamoto coming up. Is coming up next for the Dodgers, or maybe not. Maybe they'll put him into game seven. But they still have to go against Yoshi Yamamoto, who has two complete games, has been unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable off the mound.
You and I both called a win yesterday, and that didn't jinx them.
I thought it was going to be right in game three. I said 7-5 Blue Jays, and it was 5-5. I was like, oh, I need two runs and an extra, and we got a 7-5 game. I've got no vibe about this game at all today. Zero. All day long, usually you get a vibe on momentum and how teams are going to go, okay, Blake Snell is such a wild card. He could motor through a lineup. But he can also, if he's not on, he's god-awful. And then what's the kid going to do in such a huge environment, Dodger bleeping stadium, in game five of the World Series with Treya Savage? But
I think I would have been more nervous in that Yankees game that he pitched in.
But so, does anything rattle the kid? I'm not sure.
He looks at times, am I wrong? And you can correct me if I'm wrong. He looks nervous. Like, he looks. Do you get that same feeling? Like, he's fighting off nerves. But his, like, the way he pitches, and once he gets in this stance, he kind of locks in and he seems unflappable there. But, right? Like, There are moments where I'm like, oh, he's feeling this. And listen, he's 22. Like, I'm nervous for him. So.
I'm pacing at home. What are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
So the Jays, I'm starting to flip over to the Jays after what I just heard in the control room. Shep's in there. Sarah Mills is in there. She's dabbing her eyes. I'm like, what is going on? Is everything okay? She's like, you have to listen to the voicemail that Vladimir Guerrero sent her dad.
Hi, Daddy. I'm on my way to the street. I knew it, Daddy. You were going to win. I knew it. I told you. You're going to be the best one there. You're going to win. We're going to win this whole season. I got an eye on you. I love you, God. Hopefully you have a great game. Bye, Daddy. Love you.
That was after the 4-3 win over the Mariners, his 8-year-old daughter leaving Vladdy voicemail.
I thought you were going to play that message from his dad.
No, that's the daughter.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Have you heard that? Vladdy's old man talking about when he was born. Yeah.
I haven't heard that one yet.
It's floating around. It's one of those internet things, and it's pretty powerful as well.
So
he's like, I knew the moment I saw you that you were going to be great. Yeah, very cool.
So that was the voicemail. His 8-year-old left him after a 4-3 win over the Mariners as they get ready for game number five
he's
tonight.
He's such a likable guy, right?
And you have to ask the question now, do the Dodgers have to pitch around him like the Blue Jays are trying to pitch around Shohei?
Hit well to deep left center. And this one will go. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. lines one into the seats in left center, and the Blue Jays take the lead.
This is the third time in postseason history in which two players have hit 7-plus home runs. 2002, Barry Bonds and Troy Gloss. 2020, Randy Arozarena and Corey Seager. And in 2025, Shohei Ohtani with 8, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. with 7. That's only the third time ever in which two players have hit 7-plus home runs in playoff history.
It's a new, obviously, record, franchise record, too, for the Blue Jays. He surpassed Batista so last night with that home run in the third inning to go ahead on the Dodgers.
But we're having some fun today here on the Green Zone, getting ready for game number 5. We are asking you today, if you had a blank Jays jersey, we gave one away at Boston Pizza, our watch party for game number 3, and it was blank jersey, and I'm thinking, what name would you put on that jersey from the current crop of Blue Jays? Who in this playoff run has become your favorite? The 90s Jays, of course, there's it's Vladdy Guerrero Jr., it's Joe Carter, right? It's George Springer, it's Roberto Alomar. But then there are the Pat Borders, Ed Spraggs, those guys back in the day. Mike Timlin.
Yeah.
Tom.
That supporting cast.
Those supporting cast guys that become like
legends.
Lore.
Yeah.
1-877-332-8255 is the fan line. Who would be the player you're putting on the jersey? Michael texted in, Trey is Savage. Kids started the year in A, then double A. Well, there was like low A, high A, double A, triple A. Now he's starting tonight in game 5 of the World Series after starting in game 1 of the World Series. So Michael in Saskatoon says, Trey is Savage. That's the jersey he'd be getting.
That's a good pick. We've had some Kirks. We have a regular text. Kirk is mine. We have a regular texter named Kirk. He said, I'm not a big Jays fan, but I would have to get a Kirk jersey for obvious reasons. So that's come in. He is not only is he likable, but he's also clutch. Right? Kirk's had some huge moments in this postseason as well. I think he's hit 4 or 5 home runs as well. Right? You got Vladdy and you got Ohtani, you got your superstars on both sides, but these guys aren't getting to these final games without an amazing team around him. Greg from Regina sent in Barger as well, so he joins Evan Bray on the Barger train.
Here's an interesting one on the text line from Dave in Saskatoon. I'd get Schneider, not Davis. He'd get John Schneider, the manager.
We have a couple.
Of course, managers do wear jerseys. After all,
you could put a John Schneider on there. You know what's interesting about the Schneider conversation is, you know what? There's a lot of hate for the managers in baseball. When they make any mistake, it's overanalyzed, right? But I think a lot of people have come around on Schneider. I remember, you know, through the course of this season, Jamie, we would get a lot of, anytime the Jays blew something or there was kind of a weird decision made during the game, there was a lot of hate focused at John Schneider. We had a couple of texters in particular that every time we even mentioned the Jays, they would send in hate text for John Schneider. But that is really sort of diminished over this playoff run. Davis Schneider has come in. We got that from Joe from Pilot Butte. Him and his kids ran into Davis during the Yankees series. And he gave him about 10 minutes and hung out with him and signed some stuff and said he's a really good guy. So Davis has also got the stash, the great stash.
1-877-332-8255. What is John Schneider's number? Why can't he's always wearing like a hoodie, right? So I'm trying to.
Yeah, he's got a Belichick look.
He's got a hoodie or sweater or something on.
Did they give numbers to managers?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They got full uniforms. 1-877-332-8255. He can help me out. I don't even know what number it would be. Number 22 says Brett Ernie Clement.
14.
Oh, he's number 14 for John Schneider. Ernie, another one came in for Ernie Clement. That's back-to-back. Brett says number 22, Ernie Clement. No bigger gamer on the roster, says Brett. And then another one, just overall great player, great energy. Ernie Clement getting some love here on the Green Zone today.
Number 22 is my number in most sports as well, basketball and baseball.
Is there a reason for that?
I just like the number 2 two was always taken, so I ended up with 22 a lot of times. So
mine was three.
You always had a three?
Okay. Wherever I could get a number three, it was number three. That was my number.
No 13?
No.
Okay.
Number three. Why? My brothers wore three. My older brothers. I don't know. So I was just, it was just a number that I went. Then people started to go, oh, you're the third born, so you wore number three. I'm like, no, my older brother wore number three. Probably, he probably only wore it once. But for some reason, I thought that was the family number. 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line. A couple of people have texted in. Don Mattingly.
Yeah, Brandon from Prince Albert sent that in. Interesting story. I mean, I looked it up just quickly because he hasn't been with the team that long. He's the bench boss. So but he was with the Yankees for years, mm-hmm. played with the Yankees, and then he coached the Dodgers, and now he's with the Blue Jays. He spent 30 years in the majors, and this is the first time he's ever been to the World Series. And he was with the Yankees.
Oh, yeah.
And the Dodgers. Like, what?
Wild that he's never experienced this, and here he is. So a couple of people would throw on the number 23 for the Don, Don Mattingly. Debbie in Saskatoon, it sounds like you want multiple jerseys. Who would you be getting?
No, I would get one jersey, but multiple names.
And, okay, who, like the whole team, or do you have a few favorites?
Not the whole team, just a few of the ones that you guys were naming. But, of course, they'd have to be embroidered smaller because you can't just pick one. That's a toughie.
All right, so Debbie's like, Clement, Barger, Guerrero, Kirk. Springer. That's what her Jays jersey would be. 1-877-332-8255. Jeff, who are you going with?
I would go with Barger.
Why?
After watching him throw that 99-mile-an-hour ball from field the other night to home plate, like, come on. Grand slam home run. Come on.
That was a dart.
Barger had a grand slam.
Addison, yep. Barger.
Him, yes, and Springer. Yep.
It was, well, and Guerrero in this playoff run, too, hit one out. I texted the group chat, like, Vladdy's hitting this out. Goodbye.
Yeah.
1-877-332-8255. Who would you be putting on a Blue Jays jersey as they get ready for game number five? Let us know now on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Indian Locker with the Year in the Green Zone, getting a ton of feedback on which Blue Jay jersey you'd get. If you had a blank Blue Jay jersey, here you go. Put a name number on it. What would it be? And we got Clement, we got Barger, we got Savage, Glenn, North of Dooney. What is it for you?
Number 30, Alejandro Kirk.
Why Alejandro?
Oh, yeah, that guy just chucks like a... He looks like the every guy. He looks like somebody that you'd meet at work after work for a beer. You know, a little chubby guy. He just gives it at all. Heart of a lion.
All right, Glenn says Alejandro Kirk. That's your guy.
My guy's Kirk. I love Kirk. I'd have to. I'm very impressed with a number of players in this postseason. But Kirk has been. I've been a fan of his all season long. We got this from Dale. Jays Nation would be on the jersey because players get traded too often. The one thing about this group is I think it's going to be a bit of a core for a bit. If they have, well, they're sharing success right now. And I think they'll do what they can to keep these guys together.
There was another text that said the name on the back would be Da Yankees Lose. And then an immature number choice was what he was. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone, getting ready for game number five of the World Series. Of course, you can listen to it here on CJME and CKOM beginning at 6 o'clock with the Sportsnet Blue Jays.
I love that
Radio
we picked up the games.
Network. And thanks for all the feedback. We're getting a lot of feedback on people like, hey, this is awesome. Driving my kids around with hockey, yeah, and stuff and being able to turn. Some people are actually.
Last night I was like, out running around. I had to run around some, do some errands after work, and I had the game on, so I didn't miss the first two, three innings.
That starts 6 o'clock is game number five. But the NFL this weekend, pretty sure it's safe to call it the game of the week as the Kansas City Chiefs
it is.
Going into Buffalo against the Bills in the Sunday afternoon affair. Sal Capaccio joining us. He is the sideline reporter for the Buffalo Bills here on the Green Zone. But Sal, speaking of the World Series, I need to start with baseball with you, Sal, okay?
Yeah.
A couple of, well, it was the series against the Yankees. The Bills sent a good luck message to the Blue Jays. I was a bit surprised by that,
done that in the move. Past.
So, like, is Buffalo, New York more of a Jays town than a Yankees town?
No, I would say it's more of a Yankees town, but the reason is because the Buffalo Bisons are the AAA affiliate for the Toronto Blue Jays. So there's always been a relationship there between the sports teams through there and through that. And on top of that, the Bills recently now announced a partnership with Toronto and with Canada through one of those international partnership deals that the NFL does with cities. And I think that's a big part of it, right? It's just the business part of it, the business aspect. So that's probably why you saw it. In fact, your fans, like, what are you doing? I'm a Yankee fan. I hate the Blue Jays. Why would you do that? But that's pretty much why they did it. There's a partnership between Toronto and Buffalo, not only with the Buffalo Bison, but even with the Buffalo Bills now.
Well, yeah, people in Buffalo would have seen, like a lot of these guys starting for the Jays now have gone through Buffalo, right?
Yeah.
So they've been able
I'm a Yankee fan, but I love watching Vlad play here when he came up. Everybody knew who he was. My family and I, we went to see Max Scherzer pitch when he was coming up just because I wanted to see Scherzer pitch. It's pretty cool when you have that, you know, that ability. We don't have a major league team here, obviously, but, you know, the Jays played here all of 2021 during that COVID year, like the whole season.
That's so right, because they weren't coming out. They weren't going across the border. I forgot about that.
So they played here in Buffalo, Major League Baseball. Like, the Yankees came here and the Mets came here that year. And there's a big fan base, and a lot of it's because of that, too.
Sal, let's switch over to football. Are you feeling a bit sentimental, or how is your relationship with the building? Is it more of excitement for the new one, or is there some sort of sentimentality for the old one as we close this one this season out here?
It's both, but I think what I'm trying to do is I'm really excited about the new building. I really am.
Yeah.
I've gotten to go into it and tour it. You know, my wife and my son, they go to games now here, and they're going to go to games in the new building. My son's 11 years old, so, like, this is great. Like, I'm really emotional about the fact that when I was growing up here in Buffalo, I was told, like many others, Bills would never be here long term. The NFL is going to move. Ralph Wilson's going to move. They're going to sell the team someday. Nobody wants to be in Buffalo, New York, the smallest market in the league, second smallest. I grew up thinking that, like, all the time. So I am just so emotional when I think about the fact that my son will have the Buffalo Bills here through decades for him, right? That's so cool for me to know that he can watch the Bills like I did growing up. Now, that said, and it's going to be awesome. This stadium is going to be awesome, guys. But, man, this stadium that I went to watch four straight Super Bowls, four straight AFC championship teams, and I remember being a student at Syracuse University and coming home on a Greyhound bus just to go to those games. And I was at 51-3 in the AFC championship game. And I've been on the sidelines out for 12 years, you know, and seen some really bad football and some really great football. I'm trying to enjoy every moment, but it's going quick. And it's hard to enjoy every moment when everything's going by. It's the same thing like your kids, right? Like, everybody says savor every moment. Yeah, you try to, but man, it goes really quick, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, no doubt about that. Sal Capaccio joining a sideline report.
They start telling you off really quick, too.
What age does that start? No, I'm just kidding.
If you have girls, it's usually younger.
Sal, when you look at this game, though, coming up, there's been a lot of big games with the Bills and the Chiefs, and both these teams going in right now aren't where they probably would have hoped to be. I know the Bills are 5-2. That's real good, but, you know, coughing one up against the Falcons still stings a little bit, and the Chiefs are 5-3. How big is this game for what could be the absolute fight for that number one seed again in the AFC?
Well, it's monster for that. It's not just the one seed. It's honestly, guys, because of both teams not even being in the lead in their division, and the Bills chasing the Patriots already beat them, and the Chiefs facing looking up at two teams in their own division. Like, the loser of this game could potentially be out of a playoff spot after this week, right? If the Bills lose, and I think the Jags beat the Chargers, I think that's the way it works. Same thing on the other side. The Chiefs lose. They're already only in the A spot anyway. The point I'm making is it's not just the one seed. It's literally like making sure that you're in a good spot to even be in the playoffs and then get home games, you know, in the first round, the two seed, the three seed, whatever that is. So I think it's massive from that standpoint for both these teams. At the end of the day, if the Bills and Chiefs play, you want it to be at home. But we've seen, and I know the Bills haven't beaten the Chiefs in the playoffs. I get it, right? They beat them in the regular season. But they have beaten them at Arrowhead. And the Chiefs have beaten them here in Buffalo. So I don't know if it's not the end-all be-all to have the home game against either team. What it is, though, is to be in a position where you can make sure you're comfortable and secure and try and win your division and have home games and not have as tough of a road to get to where you want to go.
Sal, we got a board in the control room. I just want to make sure that I point this out. And I put on here, it's like a predictions board. So if we say something stupid,
we say put it on the board.
Are you willing to put it on the board?
To lock it in on the board. And
I have Chiefs miss the playoffs on the board right now.
So. He could really use a Bills win this week.
I could really use. Wow. I have a question. I have a question about.
We have a board like that, too, in our studio. They have bets on things like that, and they put what are the odds, and some of our hosts do that. By the way, who was the Chicago White Sox announcer used to do that? Put it on the board! Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Sal, let's talk a little bit about Josh Allen. Where do you have him right now ranked among the top quarterbacks in the NFL so far this season? And does it move daily?
Well, it doesn't move because he's Josh Allen. He's the league MVP. I mean, if you want to call him one, two, three, I don't know, but he's certainly amongst the elite. I mean, that's a different discussion of how has he played this year. I think there's been some dips in his play at times, no doubt. But he's still. I could argue he's the best player in the NFL. Period. And that's never going to change because I don't care if Josh Allen has three subpar games. The fourth game could be a game where he goes 350 yards and runs for two touchdowns as well. So that's not going to change from that standpoint. I know who Josh is, and I've seen him have some lulls here and there. And last week in the first half wasn't the best, and the Atlanta Falcons game wasn't the best, you know, but the entire offense has blame in this, and the receiver's not getting open and things like that, and Josh does too. I'm not absolving him, but he's still Josh Allen. He's still one of the best players in the game.
When you look at the team that's coming in, the Kansas City Chiefs, now that Rashee Rice is back, how dangerous? I know they're always dangerous, but it seems like Rashee Rice is healthy. Travis Kelce's having a rejuvenated season at tight end, one of his best years in a while at tight end. Is this a different monster than probably what started the season in Kansas City?
Oh, it's 100% a different monster than what started it. I would even argue maybe they have the best weapons they've had in this iteration of the Chiefs, to be honest with you, ever since they started. I would say ever since they moved on from Tyreek Hill, at least, right? I mean, you go back to then when you really look at everybody they had and when, you know, Kelce was in his prime and things like that. But, man, they are weapons all over the place, dangerous as heck, and they have so much speed everywhere. You have to defend every inch of grass and every blade of every little pellet of turf, you know, the Bills will. Now, they're not particularly great at running the ball, right? And they're going to be without Isaiah Pacheco most likely this week, and that's their number one running back. Now, you might say, well, it doesn't really matter. They kind of run by committee. I agree with that, but they haven't been great at running the ball. And I think that's something that they've been able to do a lot better over the last several years, and that allows that passing game even to be more effective. So that's something that I think is in their offensive line at times has been, a bit, challenged, I guess, and now they're without Josh Simmons, even though their other left tackle is playing really well in his place. But it's not like they're infallible, right? But, yes, the weapons they have are pretty incredible, and you could argue that this is the best, most explosive, at least, offense that the Chiefs have had since they started winning Super Bowls, at least since they moved out from Tyreek Hill.
I know. Is this the biggest rivalry now for Buffalo fans? Like do they get revved up for a Chiefs game maybe more than divisional games now with the Patriots and, well, especially the way the Dolphins and Jets have been the last couple of years?
It depends on who you ask, really. There's different types of rivals, I guess. I think the Chiefs aren't seen as the rival for most Bills fans. They seem like the barrier to Bills fans is what it is. That's the team we got to beat. Like, you haven't done it. Like, you guys, I know it's going to be weird for people to hear maybe about this, but it's true. Like, the Bills head coach, Sean McDermott, gets old. There are a lot of detractors of him now here in Buffalo. I'm not one of them. I defend him a lot. Oh, my God, yeah. Oh, it is on the daily. We had a guy call our station yesterday. We had our one host Bulldog, afternoon drive host, kind of went viral because of his rant, because the guy's like, what's it going to take to get McDermott fired? But people talk like that every day around here now. It's crazy because they haven't beaten the Chiefs. And people think they'll never win a Super Bowl with Sean McDermott. They want to say how I can't believe Brandon Bean traded and gave the Chiefs Xavier Worthy, and he does this wrong and that wrong. It's crazy. Like, that's how, that, to me, it's the fear bunker of the Chiefs. So it's not the rival. It's the barrier. That's what it is for them. Now, for me, I grew up, I'm a child of the 80s. When looking back, it was the Dolphins. I don't care whatever happens. It's the Dolphins for me. Like, that's, it's Miami week. You know, and I know very well now in my job, my career now, my life, I'm good friends with Thurman Thomas and Steve Tasker and Jim Kelly. Those guys were guys I watched growing up, and all of them will tell you, it's Miami, it's Miami, it's Miami. That's just the generation I grew up. But if you talk to most, like, younger Bills fans, it's the Patriots, because the Patriots, what they did to the Bills for 20 years should be illegal in 50 states. I mean, honestly, it's pretty incredible, like, how dominant they were in Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. And you can't get that out of your head after game after game after game for 20 years.
Sal, we got to wrap up here, but back to the board. I also have another thing on there that I will, because I'm a Bills fan, I will have to jump through a table if the Bills win the Super Bowl. So do you have any jumping through table tips for me?
I am not a table jumper. I don't do that, but I've watched many people do it. First of all, the one thing I'll say is please make sure you get one that actually does break on its own. Like, not that you're going to make it break for the first time. That's pretty stupid, right? I mean, that's how people get hurt. So have something that actually, like, is a folding table that when you hit it, it breaks your fall. That would be number one advice. And then, I don't know, I guess have something that you can fall into. And, you know, do it where, like, do like a flying elbow, like you would on WWE or something like that. You know, don't just have your butt and your back do it. You're just asking for trouble that way. I'm not into the whole thing, you know, and I know people have done it. I know people have gotten pretty hurt doing it, too, by the way.
Well, you just made Jamie's day. He's even more excited.
Yeah,
now
I'm like, I'll supply the table.
I mean, go Google.
I've seen a lot of them.
Man, no, what's it? Harry Douglas.
Harry Douglas.
ESPN Radio.
Okay.
He came to Buffalo to jump through a table, to do a game, and he said he's gonna jump through a table. He jumps off a bus, and instead of like bending, he does it with his feet. And I swear, I'm like, I cannot. I saw him in the radio booth. I'm like, dude, like, how did? I'm surprised, like, you didn't get really seriously hurt by doing that. That is not the proper way. That is like the instructional video of how not to jump through a table by Harry Douglas.
Sal, great chat. Thanks for it, and enjoy Sunday. Hopefully, it's
right,
a dandy.
Take care.
All right, you got it, guys. Thanks.
That is Sal Capaccio joining us, sideline reporter, Buffalo Bills from WGR 550 Sports Radio.
He's from the New York area, eh?
Buffalo, absolutely. So here we go, Sal.
You can just hear it. You can hear it in the voices. I love it.
I have Josh Allen in fantasy football. I really need a big week. This is a lot more to come here, Bills, on the Green Zone, including a chat with Britton Gray. 10, count them, 10 CFL Divisional All-Stars for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. We'll go through the list with Britton when he's coming up at 4 o'clock on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.